Welcome to the Biz Essentials Podcast. I'm your host, Veronica, and today we're going to be speaking with Lori Herbers. Now, in honor of Valentine's Day, this episode's going to be all about love. I know what you might be thinking, this is the Biz Essentials, so what's love got to do with it? Well, when it comes to finding your purpose, you need to know what you're truly passionate about. And to be able to find out what you're truly passionate about, you need to be able to know and accept who you truly are. So what's love got to do with it? Well, when it comes to finding your passions and living your purpose, love is everything. Lori explains it best.
I really believe that within you, because of the knowledge and wisdom, is your purpose. And your soul, without a shadow of a doubt, knows exactly what you're meant to be doing. So if you're having difficulty trying to figure that out, then you're disconnected. There's some disconnect between your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. And I will tell people too, because they're like, well, I'm not so sure. I kind of like this and I kind of like that. And then I always ask them to do this.
I'll be back with Lori right after this.
Tony Robbins once said, no matter how many mistakes you make or how slow you progress, you are still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying. This is the Biz Essentials. You want to grow, get ahead, keep the spark. Here you'll get valuable insights and empowerment to grow personally and professionally. Isn't it about time you turn your dreams into successful passion projects? Learn how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself. The Be Essentials. This is the Biz Essentials. And this is your host, Veronica of Veronica Ventures.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Lori. Lori, before we get started with all of my questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
I would love to. My name is Lori Herbers. I am a relationship and spiritual love coach and an author. I love talking about love. I love helping people love themselves.
Let's explore that a little bit, because love to me is such a big concept. And then also self-love can be very difficult for some people, including myself. So a relationship and spiritual love coach, how did this come about for you? How did you delve into this line of work and being an author and teaching people how to love themselves?
It was kind of shocking, but yet not shocking. I started out as an empowerment coach. The reason behind that was because I was always empowering everyone, even growing up, even in the abuse and trauma. For some reason, I was always that go-to person all my friends would come to when they were down or things weren't working out, and I was their inspiration, and I helped give them a hand and pull them back up. So on my way from hating, because I literally hated myself, from the abuse and trauma and being told I was stupid and worthless, I truly believed that I was. And so I decided one day, like, there's got to be more than this, because I really thought that this is all that there will ever be. So if you're listening out there and you're thinking, this is my life, this is all there ever is going to be, That's not true. I really realized that I decide what my life's going to look like. And so the first thing I had to do was learn to love myself. I had to start taking ownership for my beliefs and my actions and my thoughts and start dismissing the lies that were in my head. But I even went deeper than that. Like, I legit was in coaching programs and everybody else is like, I'm going to manifest. And I'm like, I want love. So while they're all working on trying to manifest stuff, I legit was just spending all of my time learning about energy, how I'm connected to energy, because I knew love existed. I did like different breathing exercises and visualizations, literally picturing myself inhaling love and every cell in my body just like rejoicing, because your cells are love. We come from love. So if you ever feel like you're not loved or love's not near you, you literally are love energy. And so I slowly learned to tap into it. And then one day I just did it exactly right, that I was standing in what I call the fullness of love. And that was the energy of all love, like the universe love. And I was just like in such awe that I'm like, oh, this is beautiful, because all the stress and the worries and all those liars and the fears, it just all fell away. And all these things that I thought were so important and that I needed to be wasting all my time on, I realized I did not need to do that. And so I was basking in this love for a couple of months. And I can remember every morning just going, oh, this is so great. How do I get people to know this exists? I wish someone would have told me like decades ago, this exists. It's ours. It's our birthright. It's what we came from. It is what we are. And then I just realized, start talking, start sharing with people that this is, you know, love energy exists and it's us and we have it and it's ours and we can just bask in it. So that's kind of how that all started with the love piece.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I love that even in your childhood, when you were experiencing trauma and all that, it seemed like your passion for helping people and empowering people was still there, which is beautiful to me. I've had a traumatic history. So for me, the self-love part is extremely difficult. And it's something that I've been working on for a long time. For those of our listeners who struggle with the same thing, can you give us a little bit of insight on how we can begin to love ourselves?
I think one of the things that had the biggest impact on me was honor. When I started thinking about what does honor mean? Because you cannot have love without honor or honor without love. And it got to the point where I call them loopy thoughts that we get stuck in. You're worthless. You're stupid. Oh my gosh, you didn't do that right. And why did you say that? And oh my gosh, what did you do that for? Those kind of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have those, where like if I would have that thought, because for me, it was a lot of you're stupid or you're unworthy. So as soon as I would hear that, I'd be like, well, that's not honoring me at all. You're not stupid. And actually, for those of you who get stuck, I actually had this epiphany the other day. I'm going to throw this out there because it really was like, it's impossible for you to be stupid. Because we are connected to the whole. Within us is all knowledge and wisdom. Therefore, it is literally impossible for you to be stupid. So to claim that you are is a complete and utter lie. So it's basically when you start to learn the honor, like I would get angry at myself for things. Like I forgot to do something or, you know, I meant to go right and I didn't go left. Or I forgot to pick up the mail and something important came. You know, and I would beat on myself. I'd be like, oh my gosh, see, I told you to go get it. Why didn't you listen to yourself? Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would start to catch myself and be like, I'm so sorry, self. You don't deserve to be talked to that way. You are worthy to be treated with respect and kindness. And when you start doing that, I mean, like the first couple of times, like I sobbed because I'm not used to anyone, you know, giving me that kind of consideration. But when you really focus on the honor piece of what you're doing to yourself.
Right.
Kind of helps flip that around and you start to notice it more when you do say something that is dishonorable and you'll also notice it in other people. It like opens up this whole world because then you'll hear someone say something and you'll be like, oh, that was really dishonorable. That was not okay.
So what I'm hearing is that the most important thing is to kind of do that like pattern interrupt is what I've heard it called. Mm-hmm. When you hear that self-hatred or those yucky loops that go on in our heads, just kind of interrupt yourself and see if it's actually valid and true. And as you said, most of the time it's not. We are good people. Just, we don't always believe that about ourselves. So that's a really good point. And I'm going to start working on that because even though I am getting better at it, I'm not always great at it. And I think for those of our audience who maybe where I was a couple of years ago, who are thinking like, oh yeah, right. Like I could hear myself hearing this conversation like 2 years ago before I've had my little transformation going like cue the eye roll, like, oh my gosh. But it's true. Like once you start down that path, like you've mentioned, you have these epiphanies and you see yourself for who you really are. And I think that's important. Shed all of the outside influences that make us think that we're bad people. Mm-hmm. I'll get off my soapbox now because this is about you.
No, I'm right there with you. I would have been the same because when I first heard of manifesting or the law of attraction, I did the eye roll and was like, that is a bunch of baloney because I had to get to a point where I had to take ownership and realize all the crap that I thought was crap. I did that.
Right.
And it wasn't until I took ownership and understood that, okay, so what was I believing and thinking that made this? Right. Because if I keep believing and thinking that, this is what I'm going to have. Because what I have, I created.
Yeah.
So I get the eye roll because I was like, no, because there's no way I was going to take responsibility for all that. So yeah, I had to.
Very true. And I think one of the things that I struggled with having come from trauma and all of this like spiritual awakening is where people would say, you are what you attract or, you know, like everything has a purpose. That was one thing that always killed me. Like God does everything for a reason. I would be like, stuff doesn't happen for a reason. What's helped me transform that into something a little more palatable for me is maybe things don't always happen for a purpose, but you can make purpose out of the things that happened. And I love that you're doing that with your life. To delve a little bit more into what you do, you mentioned that you were an author. Can you tell us a little bit about your books and what they're about?
2 years ago, I put out a book called Second Chances, How I Turned Hate into Love and Found My Purpose, because I really felt that by sharing my story and getting really vulnerable, it would help tell people that you can change too. You have this power. You have this ability. You are magical. Like your mind is so powerful. You can take like a world like mine where I full on hated myself. Didn't even know what the heck love meant. I thought I did, but I really, really didn't. And I turned it around. So you can too. And then this past year, I wrote a book called Becoming Abundance, Embracing and Enhancing Your Unique Design. So it takes it even a step further and gives you more of like, these are the things you want to start digging into. Intuition, knowledge, wisdom, love itself, your thoughts, your beliefs. It digs into all of that because we are always becoming something. And so we get to decide, am I becoming more than or am I becoming less than? Because even though if we're thinking we're sitting there stagnant, when you don't even make a choice, that's actually making a choice. So you're making a choice to not grow and to not morph or to transcend or to become more of yourself. You actually lose yourself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Because I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I know having had the traumatic history, it was very difficult for me to make choices. And so I would get stuck very, very easily because I was paralyzed by like not wanting to make the wrong choice. Yeah. And so that's kind of eye-opening. It's like, by not making a choice, you're making a choice. Oh, goodness. That's just going to unravel all kinds of stuff for me.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be thinking about this later tonight going, oh, man.
Yeah.
No, but that's awesome. And so your first book, Second Chances, and turning your hate into love and finding your purpose. For those of us who are still in that journey, which, let's face it, I would hope to think that's actually most of us because we're all growing all the time. Mm-hmm. But once we do the pattern interrupt and we catch ourselves in those lies and start flipping them around and flipping the script, how can we start turning that love into purpose or finding our way?
I really believe that within you, because of the knowledge and wisdom, is your purpose. And your soul, without a shadow of a doubt, knows exactly what you're meant to be doing. So if you're having difficulty trying to figure that out, then you're disconnected. You're not in alignment. So there's some disconnect between your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. And I will tell people too, because they're like, well, I'm not so sure. I kind of like this and I kind of like that. And then I always ask them to do this. Sit down and get in a nice quiet place. Think about this over here. And if someone said to you, you never get to do that thing. Because if it is your soul's purpose, your soul will cry out like you are ripping it in half. If you try to tell yourself that you don't get to do what your soul's purpose, the whole reason you're here, it hurts. It really does.
Yeah. That's powerful. I like it.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with you. I think that everyone does have those passions. And for me, one way that I can really resonate with my purpose and the things that fulfill me and what I believe I'm supposed to be doing in this world is that it brings me a lot of joy, but also it seems to flow a lot easier than other things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a trippy thing once you find it. A lot of the times I think we will set it aside as not being something worthy or something real because it does come easy to us. We don't see it as a talent or a gift, but it's not always easy to everybody else. And so I think that's important to keep in mind, too, is once you find that passion, don't just discount it because you don't think it's valuable, because you have it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We just have to find a way to channel it. Your second book, Becoming Abundance. Abundance to me is such a tricky word because a lot of people will use it to like manifesting abundance as in material wealth. But there's so much more to it mm-hmm. than that. How did you delve into abundance within your book? And how would you suggest that myself or our listeners can begin that process of really getting into who they are and becoming a fully actualized self?
The fun thing about abundance is it is determined by you. Because what I want abundance of might not be what you want abundance of. So again, it's learning to understand, to know and understand yourself and your own needs and your own wants. Because abundance could be love. It could be friendships. It could be a giant garden. Like maybe you love to garden and your dream is this huge garden. You know, so abundance is basically anything. And I was very specific for saying becoming abundance instead of abundant is because we are constantly growing. Because to me, abundant means you already have this specific amount. Abundance means it just keeps going. It keeps coming. It's all the good stuff. And so you are what determines what all the good stuff is for you. But stepping into that, again, you can't step into that without knowing yourself. Because like at the beginning of my journey from trying to come out of the trauma, like if someone asked me, what do you do for self-care? I'm like, I don't even know what I liked. I didn't even know because I never ever thought that self-care was something I deserved to have. So I just didn't never do
right.
it. And so you may be at that point. Like for me, when someone asked me that, I was just literally like crickets. I don't know. So we really need...
I watch TV.
Right? I know. But that's not actually self-care. Self-care is doing things that purposely make you feel loved and make you feel abundance, make you feel empowered and make you feel inspired and just bring out this little kind of a woohoo in you instead of a, you know, I kind of like to go on my bike, you know, no, you know, like you like, yes, I love rollerblading, you know, whatever it is, do those things. Or if you love, like for me, I would crank the and jam in the car and I used to be in education and students would see me and they're like, I saw you last night. My goodness, your stuff was loud. That's what makes me feel alive and it makes me feel powerful and it makes me inspired. And so you need to really dig into what are you about, because it matters and it's important. Everything about you is important.
Wow. That's a really good point. I'm feeling so moved just by this conversation because it's totally true. I think I struggled with the same thing. And you bring a really good point in that self-care isn't just resting. It's about acknowledging who you are and feeding what brings you joy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a totally different thing. I'd never really considered it that way. Because to me, self-care was, you know, resting and being good to yourself, which could be a totally different thing, even though that's a good thing to do.
Yes.
It's not necessarily honoring who you are. It's just doing things maybe for your physical body or your mental health, which is all still good. Not saying you shouldn't do that.
Some days you just need a self-care day where you just lounge on the couch and eat bonbons. You know, it's whatever you need. Some people are like, I don't have time for that. You know what? Self-care for me would be 5 minutes in the car just driving from here to there with my music jamming. That's self-care. It's something that fills you back up, makes you feel good, makes you inspired, connects you back to the whole.
Yeah. And for those of our audience members who are feeling along those lines, like I totally get it. I was very similar. Like I have to keep going. I have to keep working. I have to do, you know, because first of all, slowing down was like bad for my mental health. I'm like, keep moving before the feelings catch up. But, but also I felt like I had to. First of all, it was a self-worth thing, but I felt like I had to be productive. And it wasn't until actually one of my guests, which is why I love learning from you guys, said something about you have to slow down to speed up because your body and your mind and your heart and your spirit, they need that rejuvenation time. They need that jamming out time to be able to be productive. You will work better. You will think better when you do have that self-care. So for those of you who are listening, who were like me, that are like, I don't have time for this crap. It's important. And it'll actually make you more productive and you will have more time. So, and for those of you who are interested in that episode, it's episode 10 on time mastery.
So when it comes to loving yourself, self-care is really important. What else do we need to know about love?
What does the fullness of love mean to you?
The fullness of love is the whole. Everything is like this giant cosmic puzzle and everything is a piece. So those of you, and I was one of them that believed I did not matter, that again is one of those lies, because you have a puzzle piece. You are important to the whole, because imagine, this is one of the most annoying things when you put a puzzle together and you're missing one piece. You're like, ah!
Right.
So every single one of us and everything in the entire universe is a piece of that puzzle. And therefore, important. And so it's about connecting to that. So imagine when, like for me, I always look at this, yes, we each as a human have our ability to love, but it's tiny because it's based on just us, our one little piece. But right. When you put all of the pieces together, so imagine everyone in the entire world, not only that, but every tree and rock and grain of sand and star in the sky. And the best way to really get it, grasp it, is go out outside at night where you can really see the expanse of the universe. That's all love energy, all of that. And so the fullness of love is all of that. It's stepping into that love energy from the whole. It is huge and it is ours. It is yours. If you're out there going, no, nobody loves me. You literally are love. You are a piece of that ginormous fullness of love. Just even that in itself will blow your mind. When you just sit outside at night and stare into the sky and see the expanse of the universe, and you're like, all of that is love. And that's not even the chair that I'm sitting in. I'm like, that's just looking out. And then you still got to look back in.
Right. Ooh, sorry, chills. I completely agree with you on so many levels. And I think, like I said before this, I would have never, the concept to me would have been entirely foreign and kind of out there. I would have been like, okay, hippie, like, right? You know, but there's so much truth in it. And I hope that our listeners who are where I was will give it some thought, because once you do see the intricacies and the epicness of everything that is around us and that we are part of that, you see that we are part of that whole, a piece of that tapestry or puzzle, like you called it, that is important. And I think if everyone were to tap into who they are as a person, love themselves and honor their passion and move forward with that, oh my gosh, could you imagine the world that we would live in?
Right?
Yeah, it's huge.
That's why I do what I do. That's literally why I do what I do, because I imagine, so like if you're out in space and they're looking at Earth and you kind of see the lights, but now imagine that every single person on Earth was plugged in and loved themselves the way that they deserve to be loved from the wholeness of that love. Could you imagine the bright light you would see from space?
Wow. Woo! Yeah, that's huge. And how that would transcend into the generations, right?
Right.
Because those of us who have been in trauma, usually it is a generational trauma thing passed down through the generations. So, you know, people like us who are fully actualized, we get to break the cycle, hopefully.
Disconnect from it. Yep.
Yep, exactly. And once we as a human race begin doing that, I think we're moving forward. I recently had a conversation with someone who said trauma is becoming a buzzword. And at first I was concerned. But at the same time, I really think it's a positive thing, because people are now starting to really heal themselves and then find a way to make that part of who they are as a person, like you. Yep. And that's one of the reasons that I do this podcast, because I very much hold that belief. And I think that everybody needs to find that passion. Before I found this podcast and the other stuff that I do, I would be productive and I thought I was happy, but it's not the same. Like, okay, let me rephrase, because I didn't always think I was happy. But even when I did think I was happy, like, it's not the same kind of happiness as like true, real joy when you're connected with yourself.
Yep.
And so while we're talking about connection and connecting with ourselves, I know we had talked about how relationships are very much a part of what it is that you do now. For those of us who struggle with relationships, even when it comes to connecting with ourselves, is there a way that we can begin working on that, on connecting with ourselves and the people around us?
Yeah, I think it's always going to boil down to self-care, taking care of yourself, filling what I call your love bucket, that every single person has a bucket that they put love in. It's not someone else's job to fill your love bucket. I know that for a fact because I tried that for years. It doesn't work. I always thought love was something someone had to give me. It was something outside of myself. But once I realized that love energy is in everything and that I can literally fill up my own love bucket by taking care of myself and by loving myself and honoring myself, making sure my needs are met and making sure that I am happy and fulfilled, that fills my bucket. But even more so when you're able to tap into that love energy, instead of just having a full bucket that gets empty as you go about your day, it will be overflowing. Because when you tap in, it's never ending. Love doesn't end. It only ever gets bigger. So once you're tapped in, you can go about your day giving love everywhere. I say it's like glitter everywhere you go, because you're so full. Glitter is everywhere. You could have walked through the store 3 days ago and someone's going to walk down the same aisles and they're going to be like, wow, I feel really good for some reason. I don't know what's going on, because they stepped into that love energy that you left in your wake, because everywhere you're going, you're basically leaving that love energy. Yeah, you can expand.
Wow.
And it's so crazy how when you change and your bucket is overflowing without even thinking about telling people, hey, my bucket's so overfull, you know, like I'm just flowing. You don't even have to say it. People are going to feel it. They're going to notice a change in you. They may not know what the heck is going on with you, but it's something, and it's something good.
Yeah.
Because that even happened with me as I was changing. My daughter one day just came to me and she's like, Mom, you're different. You're different. I'm even telling my friends about it. You're so different. Like everything, like the whole energy of our home changed because of the love energy that was now just free everywhere.
That's wonderful. And I think the way that I have seen that, not just in myself, because sometimes it's hard to see when you do things, right? But I have a 6-year-old, and whenever we're out and about, she is like a bubbly personality everywhere. And she'll just say hi to like random strangers. And before I would be like so mortified. I'm like, oh my God, stop talking to strangers. But to see the joy like she brings on a random person, that's the kind of love energy that's spilling out of all of us when we are in that.
Yeah.
And feeling it for real.
When you're being yourself. Yeah. And she's being herself. That's just what comes naturally to her.
Yeah.
It saddens me when I'm in a store and like a little kid is like, la, 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 or banging on something. And the parents are like, I always walk by. I'm like, no, let them do it. Let them express themselves. Let them be themselves. Because we're doing a disservice to our children when we don't allow them to be in their little manifesting bubbles. Because I always tell people, if you want to see manifesting in action, you watch toddlers or like kindergartners, because they don't even have the capacity to be like, well, this has to do this, and then that would have to do that in order for that. They don't care. It doesn't matter. They're little manifesting. All they believe is, I want a cookie. Oh, look, there's a cookie. As an adult, what causes the disruption in the flow is when we start going, well, I don't know how that could possibly, and we block it. So, yeah, let those kids teach us something, because they are little manifesting miracle makers.
Very true, which is why my kids always get such good luck at when we play board games. Right? I'm like, how do you do it?
Because they're not stressed
they
out.
They manifest the dice roll. Because they believe they're going to win, so they make it happen.
Exactly. It's all fun for them. It's when it stops being fun that the flow gets disrupted. So if you're not having fun in your life, start jamming up some music, paint some pictures, read some book, like do something that gives you passion again.
Yeah, I think it is important to start exploring it. At least this is what happened for me. Is like once I started doing the things that I really liked, it was ever evolving. Because if you would have told me even 6 months ago that I would be a host on a podcast, I would have thought you were nuts. Like talking to strangers on live TV. Like, I mean, not that this is live TV, but you know what I'm saying. Like out in public, it would have been terrifying and I would have never believed you. But here I am. And this is like what lights me up now. Mm-hmm. And that is huge. So you just need to start making those little steps of self-care, like you said, and let it evolve and kind of move forward from there, because you never know where it's going to end up. And it's like a wonderful surprise.
Look at life. First of all, life is a journey, but then also look at it as an experiment. You make a hypothesis and it didn't work out. So you're like, well, that didn't work. And it takes the emotion out of it instead of going, oh my gosh, now I just made another stupid mistake. What the heck did I just do? Instead of that, you turn around and be like, oh, well, that was interesting. That didn't work the way I thought it was going to, but that's okay. Because now, guess what? I can do something else.
Yeah, that's a really interesting perspective too, because that was another thing that I struggled with, was making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to get all therapeutic on everybody, but I think it really was because having had trauma, I blamed myself. Therefore, that was like a big mistake. Yep. And I didn't ever want to make that kind of mistake again, you know. Talking to my inner child here, but it is. It's, I mean, a mistake is just a mistake and you move forward from there. There's not anything you can't learn from.
I don't even look at mistakes as mistakes.
Yeah.
It's a stepping stone. To me, there's no mistakes. There's no wrong turns. If you should have went right instead of left, I always believe you'll come back. I spent years going around the same dang mountain because I kept going right. It took a while before I'm like, oh, maybe I should try left. Let's try that. Yeah, because I was so worried about making a mistake, I just kept making the same one over and over and over and over because, oh my gosh, I might make a mistake. And actually what really got me is talking with God. I've been talking with God for a really long time. But I remember one day he was like, Lori, he's like, why are you so worried? You're acting like if you make a mistake or do something that you didn't turn out the way that you want to, that I'm just going to be over there going, good luck. No, he's like, I already know what you're going to do and I'm throwing pillows down. Like, I'm already making preparations to bounce you back up. So stop worrying about making a wrong turn or making a mistake, because I'm going to use whatever you're doing no matter what. So stop being so afraid, because we can't grow when we're afraid. We can't love when we're afraid. We push love away.
Yeah. I can only speak for myself, but I think for me, like, love was a scary thing because it's like, love equaled pain. Like, mm-hmm. You know, people who love me hurt me. So it was like, But that's not real love.
Nope.
And so I think that is another big realization that I had. But you make so many good points. I'm like, my mind is going everywhere all at the same time. And I just triggered myself and lost my where I was going with that sentence. Wow. Okay, let me think. Talks amongst yourselves, people. Wow.
They're absorbing right now. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, got it. And I'm back. It was a really hard struggle for me when I would see, you know, obstacles in my path or mistakes that I had made to be okay with having made those mistakes. And it wasn't until one time my oldest was having a really hard time. I was up all night ruminating over what I was going to do. I had like this big idea of like, a transformation that I wanted to make in my life and how it was going to help her. And it wasn't until that point that I saw like all of those things that I considered mistakes or wrong turns fitting together like puzzle pieces into who I am now as a person and how I'm affecting change in my own world and for those people around me. So I just wanted to put that out there for our audience who maybe like I was then in thinking like, oh my God, I've messed up so many parts of my life. It's like I said earlier, not everything happens for a reason. If you don't want to believe that, that's totally cool. But you can do beautiful things out of the things that have happened to you. that realization is finally what started repairing my relationship with God and the universe at large. Because before then, I would be like, why? Like, why would all of these terrible things always happen? And it was one of those like, well, terrible things happen because people are jerks. They don't love themselves, exactly. And therefore they cause pain to others. Yep. But that doesn't mean it. That's where it ends. The universe is putting out those pillows, or God is putting out those pillows to catch you, and you can make something beautiful from it. So see, that's where I was going with that thought, and that's why I got all triggered. That's funny. Because it's like big.
That's the thing too. If you look back, love is always showing you the way. Even when you're not even paying attention, because you can look back and be like, oh, now stuff makes sense. Like you're saying, the puzzle piece all of a sudden started to click into place and you understood why that happened now that you're here. And I always tell people too, if you're unsure of your purpose, start looking back to when you were little, because it's always been shining from you. You just didn't realize that it was. Because like for me, I had no idea I was meant to help people heal and love themselves. That my soul was literally crying out for me to reach out and help other people understand their worth, because we are so worthy and we are enough as we are. Go back and look. Find the little heart winks or the little heart nudges, and you're going to see it. I feel like sometimes if I look back, I've been all over the place career-wise, but every single thing that I did within it was still leading me here to this moment. So every little piece, every step of your journey is leading you. Love is leading you. You just got to be paying attention.
To go along those lines, a lot of the times I would not necessarily blame myself, but get down on myself on, you know, well, these are all the things that I've started and quit. Like, you know, like I would always quit things because not necessarily that they would get too hard, is that like I stopped believing in myself and I would move on. And I think those are other parts of the puzzle piece that we're fitting together. It's like all of these things that I did and quit were lessons that I needed to learn to get where I am now. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful the way that things work out. When you're actually looking for them and you see it, it's like mind-blowing. It's kind of like going outside at night and seeing the universe, and you see all of its expansiveness, and you're like, whoa.
I'm a part of that.
It felt like the montages that you see in a movie, or where you see someone thinking, you see all these like flashes. That's what it felt like. And it was really weird, but also really incredible. It's such a beautiful conversation. I'm all energized. This is how I feel when I feel all joyful and connected, and why I realize that this is my passion, because like right now I have like so much energy. Mm-hmm. I can hardly stay in my seat.
Yep, because you're tapped in.
Yeah, it's weird, but really cool. And so I hope that people who are listening to us can feel that joy and that passion and know that it is available for everybody. You just have to find it.
Really? Really?
Sometimes it gets hidden under all the layers of crap that are thrown on us when we're kids. That's the scary part about being a parent.
Yeah, it is. I know. And that's okay, because I can look back and I can be completely honest with myself. I was a crappy mom when she was little, because my love bucket was tipped over, cracked, empty, and she was getting the least of me. And that's why I'm always telling parents, I'm like, do you want your child to have the best of you or the least of you? Because if you're not taking time out to fill your bucket and to make sure that you are full, you cannot give what you do not have. So if your bucket is empty, you're giving the least of you. And that is not fair to anyone, including yourself. So self-care is super important. Taking that time to tap into love. Because like I said, when your bucket is just overflowing, then everyone, everywhere you go, is getting the best of you. And that's what we all deserve from each other.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I think it also ties into another conversation that I had with a recent guest. In knowing what it is that you like and you dislike, you're honoring yourself, and it's okay to like set those boundaries, because that is how you tap into who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Your likes and your dislikes are you. I know, having grown up the way I did, and I keep referring to myself, but that's because I can only draw on my own experiences. Boundaries were very difficult, and acknowledging what it was that I liked and disliked was also very difficult, because I would try to do what everybody else wanted me to do. I would reflect back to them what it is that I thought they wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Yep, it does.
So I think, like you said, tapping into that self-care, tapping into your self-love, that's how you become who you are really meant to be, because it's all in there. You just have to uncover and take off all the yucky that the world puts upon us.
Yeah, reconnect.
I could talk to you forever.
I know.
I love this subject.
Me too. I could talk about it forever. Somebody else made a comment to me about Lori has such good truth bombs. Because I mentioned that I have been speaking with God for like decades. And so I'm creating a journal that's called the Truth Bombs and Heart Nudges Journal, which is going to give you basically some truth and then space for you to contemplate on it and how that relates to you, which is also going to turn into some courses. And I also starting a membership that's all based on truth bombs. And yeah, it's going to be I'm pretty excited about it. It's pretty crazy because, like we said, we need those. We need those little nudges to keep us kind of on our toes and growing and learning and morphing.
There are going to be people who are listening who want to connect with you. Where can people find you?
SoulofLegacy.com is my website. I'm on Facebook as Soul of Legacy, Instagram, Soul of Legacy. TikTok, interestingly enough, is Abundance with Lori. I'm not sure how that happened. And I also have a Facebook group too, Become an Abundance. There's lots of ways to find me.
There are. I love it. And for those of you who are listening and may not have a pen handy, I will make sure I put all of those links in the show notes. Before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts, anything that I might have missed or forgotten to ask? Last impactful words for our audience?
My final thought is start paying attention to your intuition. When you're tapped into intuition, you can tap into all wisdom and all knowledge. It's already inside of you. You are connected to the whole of everything. And that's how people create inventions and everything, is because they're tapping in. If you don't know how, if this is something new for you, start very small. Should I have a banana or an apple for breakfast? Or should I have oatmeal or toast? Like, start very simple. Give yourself a moment so that internal knowing will tell you. And the more that you do it and the more you plug in, it'll just come second nature. But it takes practice. Don't get discouraged. I always tell everybody, if you just do one thing every day, one step a day, it could be the tiniest little step. Could be just saying apple, orange, picked orange, went with it. After a year, you'll have 365 steps and you'll be able to look back and go, who the heck was that back there? And look how far I've come.
Yeah, so. Beautiful. And I think that's actually a good place for your journal, because this is what happens to me, is usually I start making all these steps and then I discount them because I see myself where I am now and where I should be, according to my own brain. Yep. And so I think if people are journaling and keeping track of their truth bombs and the knowledge that comes for them, it'll help them see how far they've come through the year, because there are those, like you said, 365 steps. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
I look forward to finding some truth bombs.
Oh, I've got lots.
Yeah, I can tell, because in this conversation, like every time you talk, I'm like, poof, truth bomb. My mind is blown.
Yeah. And some of those blew my mind. So yeah.
I can already tell when I'm editing this episode, it's going to be like the EMDR shift that I feel all the time, because I can feel it even when we're talking. So it's going to be crazy, but in a good way. This is why I love what I do. I get to learn and facilitate the learning for other people.
Lori, I appreciate you sharing all of your knowledge and wisdom with us today. I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed the conversation and my mind is totally blown. Audience, thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
Lori, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. I learned a ton and I really enjoyed our conversation.
It was great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And guys, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this.
Holy moly, the truth bombs in that interview were totally mind-blowing for me, and I hope they expanded your world too. Today's episode was a little bit different, so I would really love your feedback. Let me know what you think. Holy moly, that episode was full of truth bombs. My mind is still reeling. My mind is still reeling. Holy moly, that episode was full of so many mind-blowing... Wow. Okay, holy cow. There was so many mind-blowing pieces of that interview that my mind... Holy moly. So I know I said it a bunch during that interview, but my mind is still blown. I hope that this conversation expanded your world as well. And as you probably noticed, today's episode was a little bit different, so I would love your feedback. Let me know what you think, and if you would like to see more content like this. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll see you next time on The Biz Essentials. Bye.
You've been listening to The Biz Essentials. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information, learning how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself, and turning your dreams into successful passion projects. By listening to this show, you've already set into motion the most important part, starting. So it's important to catch the next episode. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. In the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Veronica Ventures and at The Biz Essentials. Till next time, this is The Biz Essentials.
Today's quote of the day is by legendary comedian, actress, and trailblazer for women in show business, Lucille Ball. She once said, "Love yourself first and everything falls into line." You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world. So let me ask you, do you love yourself? Some of us can say emphatically, yes. Some of us are still working on it. But no matter where you are in your journey, don't give up. You're worth a fight. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me today, and I'll catch you next time on The Biz Essentials. Bye.